A bunch of different ways of saying it. And what was significant about that? He not only asked somebody to forgive somebody that he really didn't have nothing to do with. He didn't need forgiving. Nobody had wronged him, but he was willing not only to intervene in the lives of two people, but say, hey, if there's any issue, put it on my account. I'll pay for it. How many of y'all like getting in between two people that you see having issues and being willing to be that conduit through which forgiveness flows? Did you like that conduit? Yeah. It's pretty tough. Most of us, and this is a problem that I really, really struggle with. I live in that sort of nunya. None of my business. I'm not getting involved. As a Christian, do we have that right? If we see an issue, if we see something wrong, do we have an obligation to do something about it?
Well, the Bible says if you have
She's going to quote the Bible now. Woo!
If you have ought to get someone to go to them, is that the same thing?
I believe it is. So if I see something going on between two people and they're not dealing with it, should I then in turn just walk over there and jump right in the middle of it? This is a good possibility. So we should prayerfully consider where we should be involved. Do y'all agree with that? Or do you think we just should automatically go right into it? I want to throw some hand grenades out and see what y'all think this morning or this evening as we go. Is it a hard situation? You have to have discernment then, right? If you don't know either one of those people, is it probably a great idea for you to stick your nose and your head into their business? Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that and had somebody react accordingly? I have. It's not pleasant. It wasn't pleasant. Mm-mm. Sort of makes you draw back for a while, like that turtle getting his head back in the shell and you peek out. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to go out here and do anything else or not. If it's somebody you know, if it's somebody that you're involved with, invested in, like, I don't know, your church family, right? Your family. There's a lot of folks that could be. I'm not saying we go out to Walmart and we're like, those two people look like they're not getting along. Let's go over here and get in the middle of it. We should, in turn, step in between, especially two brothers or two sisters in Christ, and help them to come to that reconciliation. What was reconciliation again? Forgiveness? I heard another one. Somebody else said something about her. Is that you? Grace? Okay, that's a good one. Reconciliation. Man, I love when you save notes and you read them back out. That's good. That's the Webster's 1828 right there, right? So, do we need to be reconciled? Is there people that we need to be reconciled to? Daily, we need to be reconciled to who? To God, right? Because we're sinners. We have struggles. Not only do we sin against God, we sin against people. So, yes, we need that on a regular basis. So, I know from last week, when you look at Philemon, Onesimus, and Paul, and that triangle that was there, when that time comes, be willing to step into that. Be willing to say, hey, you know what? If there's such an issue, put it on my account. Tonight, we're going to move into chapter 5 of the book, which is titled, Forgiving One Another. Is it easy to forgive people?
No.
Why?
Because
they make me angry. Yeah. Pride, selfishness, right? Lots of those things. But forgiving really reflects the character of God. When we really look at it, forgiveness reflects the character of God. Unforgiveness, therefore, is what? It's ungodly. Should Christians do ungodly things? We're to be holy as He is holy. So a Christian who has been forgiven by God Himself has no right to withhold forgiveness from our fellow sinners. Agree? Just everybody look down. There you go. That's a tough one, right?
But
we have no right. Now, that doesn't mean we don't take that right sometimes, but we have no right to withhold forgiveness. Since God has commanded us to forgive others in Scripture, and there's lots of places to go through and look at that, I'm not going to go through all of them right now, refusing to do so is an act of disobedience against God. Unforgiveness is no less of an offense to God than drunkenness or fornication. And guess what? It's rampant amongst the Church of Jesus Christ today. If you drive, I don't know how many of y'all got more than a 10-mile drive here? How many churches do you pass? Why do you think, I was going the other day and I thought, what is that building there? It's a building, there's a church in it now. You go by, and it used to be a CVS, and I think it's a church in it now. And you go by here, and there's a church in it here. And I'm just like, why is all these, is it a bad thing to start all these churches? There's a hook out there. Let's see. Ooh, yeah. Depends on the reason, right? Sometimes we want churches because we want it to be for what we want, because we don't like what we have. And so we go out there and do that. That's not the point of it, right? Mm-mm. The church needs to be reconciled to each other by forgiving one another. And is there more power? Is there more strength? Is there more resources when we do it together? I would say yes. So, and I think that's one of the issues we got, is we're way too fragmented. Should we be fragmented on certain things? Just for fun. Yes, there's certain things we should say, hey, we're not going to associate with that, right? Because it's got issues. That's not part of what we're going through tonight. I just want to throw that out there for free, right? At salvation, we've been given a new nature that bears God's spiritual likeness. So forgiveness is an integral part of our new nature. If we're honest, though, I think Steve said it. You know what? Forgiveness is not easy. It doesn't come naturally. It's not the very first thing to go, okay, I forgive you when you've said something, did something. And a lot of times, it's not our natural nature to go, well, I want to go and talk to this person and get that reconciled. It's a whole lot better to back away, be like, what's their problem? Why are they doing that? Why is everybody always picking on me? You ever heard Charlie Brown say that, right? It's not our natural thing. Forgiveness is costly. Number one, it's going to cost you pride, because you're going to have to go to somebody and do that. Does anybody have issues with their pride? I've got lots of issues with mine. I don't know if y'all do or not, but it's not a natural thing. It requires us to set aside our selfishness and accept with grace the wrongs others commit against us and not demand our due. I want a pound of flesh for what they've done. I want this. I want that. See, I throw all sorts of stuff. I didn't even know it was a Shakespeare quote. Wow, that was free. Okay. See, I just have random things in here, and it's just like you push a button and random stuff comes out. Okay. It's honest. Okay. You done threw me off now, Jerry. Here, look. Where am I? Okay. So in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to ask for forgiveness of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We often look at debts and debtors, and we think of what? Money. Is this really what he's referring to? No, if it was, I would like to send it to my mortgage company and other places. Hey, I forgive you. You forgive me. It is not monetary, right? It's a spiritual debt. We need to understand that when he says that it's a debt. When we have unforgiveness, it's a spiritual debt that we owe somebody. At the end of the prayer, Jesus explains it in depth. If you read Matthew 6, 14 and 15, I've got another scripture I want us to spend some time in tonight, so y'all can go read that later. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, he plainly tells his disciples to forgive men for their transgressions, and our Heavenly Father will forgive us as well. Unforgiveness on earth is followed from heaven. It's not judicial forgiveness. Remember, we talked about judicial and parental, right, for Christians. God's already forgiven us forever. But parental, God's saying, hey, you need to go and make it right, just like your parent would do that to a child. You need to go and make this right. So it's not something that goes, that's, again, parental forgiveness, because we've grieved our Heavenly Father. And when we grieve our Heavenly Father, He's going to discipline us, or as it says in Hebrews, there's a great word called chasten. You know, He's going to chasten us to where we're going to go back to that level of righteousness that He expects from us. As we learned in the other chapter, our unforgiveness will cause discipline to happen until we repent and seek forgiveness. So let's go to Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 18. I know y'all can't believe that one. There we are. Okay, Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read a little bit in here and talk a little bit about it in here about what it says here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Okay, we're going to start in verse 15. I think we're going to go all the way to 35. If my voice will hold up and I can read, if I can see. Combination of two good things. So, Matthew chapter 18, starting verse 15. My Bible has little headers. And it says, dealing with a sinning brother is where it starts off with. Interesting. I like reading the little headers sometimes because it's like a preview. It's like, wonder what this is going to be about. Dealing with a sinning brother. So, chapter, 18, verse 15. It says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. What's one of the key words in there? Go and tell alone. That doesn't mean you get seven people and y'all roll up together. No, the first place is always where? If somebody's did something, it's a one top one thing. Now, if it's one and, you know, there's I've offended all of you, then I should probably come to all of you. Maybe individually might be better than a setting like this, right? Alone. I think it's key that it says that. Here's a great statement. If is a conditional thing, right? He might not hear you, but let's just continue. If he hears you, you have gained your brother, right? You're reconciled. We'll go back to that great word there, reconciled. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So the first place you go is to your brother, to your sister, and you say, hey, this is what went on. And if they agree with you, yes, forgiveness. We talked about the definition of saying you're sorry. Do y'all remember the parts of that? Because we're going to, you know, I want to make sure we break this down. If we're going to go to somebody, how should we go? What should we say? I'm mad at you because you're a jerk. Is that a good one? What you said in this context on this date, I took that wrong. I thought that was against me. It was against God. Specific. And then you do what? You ask for forgiveness, right? You're supposed to have forgiveness, right? Reconciliation. And then once they say, I'm sorry for that, what are you supposed to say? I forgive you. Thank you. See, there's parts to it, right? We have to roll through that. But if you don't hear, it says take with you one or two witnesses. Who should you be taking with you? Is that witness anybody? Somebody that's got good sense. Thank you, Jerry. I was going to say, somebody that's got wisdom and discernment, right? Somebody who could maybe facilitate, talk, if they need to, or if not, just be there to help pray and walk through that situation together. Not somebody that's got a gas can with them.
Maybe an unbiased person.
Wow, we're going to throw a big word. Unbiased person, yes. Not somebody who's like if it's my wife, she, you know, both of them, you know. Maybe it's a little, again, unbiased is a good word for that, yes. And that's the goal when they come with you is, again, reconciliation, restoration. We want to make sure that's the goal. The goal isn't to batter this person into submission that they're wrong. Right? The goal is reconciliation. It might take some battering, but, you know, we got to go from there. So you got that alone with two or three, verse 17. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you as a heathen and a tax collector. Interesting statement there. So we've went to four levels, right? Three levels. We went alone, we went with somebody else, and then we brought it to the church. When's the last time you've been in church where this has took place? Okay. Let's go before that. I've seen it here. Have I ever seen it anywhere else? Yeah. I haven't. I've been attending church for 25, 28 years.
I've seen it.
Why?
Before this pastor, we had seen it before.
Why is it such a rare thing, y'all think? I mean, it's in the scriptures. It's pretty clear. Why do you think it's such a rare thing?
We might lose this building.
Yep. People might not give next week or might not come next week or whatever else it is, right? We're worried about issues that fall from here than issues that are this way. Because what's happened here, we haven't got to that, but we talked about it last week. This person's not only sinned against their brother or sister, but they sinned against who? They sin against God. They need to not only make it right here, but we need to make it right here. I know we talked about David, you know. Man, he sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah and all of his kids. I mean, look at all the fallout. But in Psalm 51, David's primary concern is what? Man, against you and you alone, God, I've sinned. And once I make this right, then I can go back and try to make the other right. Unfortunately, if you look at David's life, it was a train wreck afterwards after that. But again, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So we're going to do what? We're going to say, is this person even saved? If they won't forgive, if they won't accept do forgiveness at all, we have to come to a point where we say, we need to treat them like they're. Does that mean we throw them out? Is that what that statement means?
Well, how do we treat the unsaved?
I think we should have the gospel, yeah. Right? So is that what this is referring to, Jerry? Well, I'm hoping we don't get to that point, yeah.
Okay. Meet to you like a heathen and a tax collector. I don't like tax collectors.
Yeah. Basically, I think it's coming to a point where you say, hey, we need to go back and get the gospel out. We need to sit down and explain to this person what it really what a Christian is, what a Christian looks like.
If they would listen.
If they would listen. Again, we can't make anybody listen, but we can tell, right? And the great thing is when we read John 15, 16, 17, talks about the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's actively working and doing that anyway. All we can do is prayerfully go. I always said, you know, some of witnessing is sort of like if you've ever been hunting and you got that dog that goes out there and does this, you know, points towards, that's sort of what we are. We're pointing towards Jesus, right? We're telling, but it's ultimately up to God to save. He's the one that does the saving. So let's continue with our scripture passage. Verse 18, it says, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Interesting that that comes right after he's talking about forgiveness. So do you think that statement that he talks about, being binding on earth will be found in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, is that forgiveness that he's referring to?
They're going to be
dealt with one day regardless. Paul has that in a place or two where he says to do what with people? We've dealt with them to this point, and guess what? It's time for them to be set aside. They've got issues in the church. So
deliver them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh.
I wasn't going to go that far, but yes. Okay, so continue. We're going to go through verses 35, so I got quite a bit more to go through. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I'm not going to go into this because we could spend a lot of time here. This, again, is we talk about context in Scripture, which is extremely important. And again, sometimes people say this and go, hold on, the lottery's up to $330 million. Let's all of us sit down here together and we're going to talk about a number. That's not what this is talking about. Again, it's tying back. This is a whole passage. It stops right here and says the parable of the unforgiving servant is the next. So this has to deal with forgiveness that we've went through this entire time. And I'm going to continue because I want to get through this passage tonight. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Again, Jesus is dealing this and now Peter comes up to him and has some great questions. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And for those of y'all who went to math class, that's a whole bunch. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, in that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. Great, that's a good thing to underline there. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. How much do you make in prison? Not a whole lot. Interesting. Okay, sorry. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, other people saw what was going on, they went and did something about it. They didn't have a nunny attitude, right? His fellow servants saw what had been done. They were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart. Hold on. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This whole section is talking about forgiveness. How important forgiveness is. And Jesus in these times when he takes what had been taught in those days and blows it up. If you have to count or make a list of what someone has or has not done, you've completely missed the point of forgiveness. So, looking here, why do you think Peter said up to seven times?
He thought he was being super spiritual.
Because the rabbis in that day would teach three times, right? And Peter's like, man, let me go to the number of perfection. I'm going to be like, look at me. Jesus, good boy, Peter, right? No, Jesus just takes what he has and blows it up and then tells a parable that does the what? The same thing. It's so unbelievable the amount this man owed. Nobody can even fathom it. I did some research because I think it's important. A talent was the largest measure of money in the Roman world and was worth 6,000 denarii. And a denarius a day was fair wage for a day's work. 10,000 talents were the equivalent of 17 years of wages for 10,000 men. I can't. I'd have to take shoes off and get a calculator and one of them abacus things. You know, whew, that's a lot. Solomon's temple was renowned for the amount of gold, and according to the Old Testament, it amounted to just over 8,000 talents, which was still less than what this man owed, an unpayable debt. Do we ever stop and consider our sin and what an unpayable debt that is? It tells us what? That our righteousness is really good stuff. It's filthy wreck. It's not worth anything. Oh, me. The same word used here when we were derived the word myriad, which means an uncountable number, like the stars in the sky or the sand on the beach. This guy had no hope, just like me and you. The king had no option but to sell all that he had in order to repay the debt. Even if he sold it all, would it even come close to dropping in there? No, not even close. The servant, though, begged for mercy. The lady prostrated himself before the king. He didn't offer up any excuses either, if you notice. He admitted he was wrong. I did this wrong. It was wrong. And asked for mercy and said he'll pay it. Even though it's impossible. It's impossible. What happens with the ruler? What would y'all have done in that situation? Good question. You owe me all this. You somehow got this much of a debt. What kind of steward was this guy? You put trust in him, and look what he done. Did he deserve it? Did he deserve to be sold and everything he had? Yeah, he deserved it. Just like, you know, sometimes we look at hell and we say, how could God? We don't deserve something like that. What's the problem we have? We have a problem with understanding sin, consequences of sin. We think we're good peoples. I's a good person. We are not. The ruler, he doesn't ask for a 250-year repayment plan. He absorbed the entire loss himself, just like God. Jesus took on part of our sin, enough of our sin. He took the entire debt and paid all of it. What an amazing thing. Each one of us is this servant here, saddled with an overwhelming debt of sin and unable to do anything about it. God steps in, pays our debts, restores us not on our merit, but completely on His. And then, as soon as that happens, wonderful, amazing forgiveness. We leave, and this is not like the next day, or he went and had lunch. No, literally, here's the king. He turns and walks out, sees the guy, and does what? Grabs him by the throat, and immediately does that. Asks for him to pay that debt. I don't know if I want to say that or not. You know what? Most people that do waiters and waitresses, their worst day that they want to wait on people is? Sunday at lunchtime. Why is that? All these holy rollers who's been up in here leave, and then how do we treat people? Well, man, they didn't fill up my sweet tea. I'm going to give them 23 cents for their tip. Just the segue, that just jumped in my mind. Sorry. Nope, sorry. Let me go back to the lesson. How can anyone who's received such mercy not have any on his fellow man? While we're just going, have any of y'all driven lately on the interstate? How can anyone who's received such mercy, I know how y'all drive. Not have mercy on other people? Do we often take what people are doing and apply that as a personal affront? Man, they saw my car when I got on the interstate, and they sped up so that they could do that to me. They don't know who you are. Sorry, again. This parable is what occurs every time a Christian's unforgiving. Notice, though, the other servant's reaction. I think it's interesting. Last week we talked about Philemon and Onesimus and Paul's intervening in both their lives. What do the other servants do? They don't go get in the middle of it. They go back what? Well, before they do anything, what does it say the condition of their heart is? They were grieved. They saw that. Do y'all ever see other people's action and it grieves your heart? It breaks your heart to see how people are treated? Oftentimes we like focusing on another part of the world. We can look overseas or something and say, I can't believe people are treated like that. What about right here in old Iredale County? Lots of people are not treated well. Sin affects everyone around you. But those servants went and they told the king. What did the king do? He went back and told the servant what? Oh, let me read it for you again. Hold on. You wicked servant, right? I forgave all this and you didn't. Should you have not had compassion? And the master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that it was due to him. That's a great question, though. He had just been forgiven everything. So what was he supposed to pay there then? You ever think about that? I have lots of strange questions when I read the Bible. I don't know about y'all, but I read and I'm like, well, hold on. It's like you go to the bank and they say you don't owe nothing. And then the very next step down here, it says you got to pay all that was due to him. So what was due to him? Maybe it was forgiveness. Maybe that's what the king was wanting him to pay. Forgiveness. Until the man learned to forgive others, he would be disciplined or punished. Do you ever think that's what, when you keep reading down to this last one, so my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his heart if we don't forgive his brother's trespasses. We're going to be disciplined until we learn to forgive. Is learning to forgive easy? Is it something we have to do all the time? Every day we have to learn to forgive. Because are you always have somebody trespass against you the same way? No, we have this now, right? Where people trespass against each other. And like I've told many people, most people that would say something on this would never say it to my face. Amen. Why is that, Steve? Because I'm an ugly, scary dude in some ways, right? No consequences for your actions. Still, we're supposed to be doing what? Forgiving people. We talked the other week about offenses, and they fell into four categories. Actually, we had private and public, right? If it's private, we could probably say what? Grace, love covers a multitude. How much is a multitude, Ms. Joyce? A bunch, right? It's a bunch. It covers a bunch. And then we had petty and profound. How many of y'all have had somebody profoundly sin against you recently? I just want to be honest. I can't think back and remember when somebody that really, really, most of it is, it's just petty. And those petty things, what do we, there's another statement. I don't think it's Shakespeare, though, Jerry. We make mountains out of molehills. I probably wasn't Shakespeare. I could have quoted somebody. No, probably not. Let's wrap up here. We're getting close to time here. So again, James 2:13 tells us about divine justice. Judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Christians who fail to show mercy will be subject to divine chastisement without much mercy. Forgiveness can help to liberate many of us. You look at what's going on today, how medicated we are as a society. You know what a lot of that is? I believe it's forgiveness. I think a lot of the problems that people face today come back to the point of forgiveness. Genuine forgiveness is given as freely as we ourselves desire to be forgiven. What's the golden rule? I know I heard that when I was a kid. Treat others like you want them. Do you want to be forgiven? Then what do we need to do? We need to be willing to forgive other people. Genuine forgiveness, again, it's not begrudging. It's not feigned. It's not something, it's no big deal. What's everybody's favorite thing to do? No problem. I hate that. Yeah, that's another one. Okay, you did something, and I said thank you. It wasn't a problem. The answer to thank you most of the time is, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, but we act like nothing, and there are problems there. There are those things, right? Genuine forgiveness, though, should be freely given, not begrudging, not feigned, a sincere reaction when we consider, again, how much we've been forgiven. We should take all bitterness, any anger, and refuse to dwell on any offense given by letting go of any thoughts of retaliation or reprisal or revenge. It's not an easy task, but did God leave us alone here? He sent the Holy Spirit. So He's living within us. And in the next chapter, guess what? We're going to talk about just as God has forgiven you. And that's the lesson for tonight. So Jerry, if you'll come here in just a minute, I'm going to pray. I did want to share one other thing with y'all. I read a book probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I just thought it'd be an interesting segue here as we think about it. Don't remember the name of the book. Don't remember that much about the book. I don't know about y'all. I read a bunch of books, and sometimes they all merge into one big book, and I can't remember where I got it from. But he talked about when we're first saved, you know, people put the cross on, and they wear, and the cross is about this big. That's just, it's just something. It's a, I don't want to say it's a token in our life, but it's something. But as we mature, as we become sanctified, as we get closer to God, the magnitude of that cross and what it did for us comes to a point where it overshadows our life. And when we look at what the cross and look at what Christ did for us, How can we withhold forgiveness to this little old lady who got in front of me at the grocery store and she had three items that had to be, you know, checked or somebody's cut us off? Just all these little petty things. And all these little petty things add up to where we march through life sometimes. You know, hey, I'm fine. How are you today? It's great. Wonderful day. Do we really understand what God's done for us? And based on what he's done for us, then shouldn't we in turn take all those that are around us, everybody that we come in contact with, even that crazy person on the interstate or wherever it is, all those people are there where we can hopefully show some grace and some mercy and some love. And they'd be like, well, that's different. Why would they be like this? And hopefully maybe we're going to have the opportunity to do what? To share with them.